This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
You know, that song we just heard, it's a song by Coldplay, a new one by them, and it really asks quite a heavy question, doesn't it? If you love me, won't you let me know? It kind of reminds me of this somewhat, I guess you could say, pivotal point in my life when I was in my early 20s, and I just really found myself, I've talked about this before, but I kind of found myself at this place, this frustrating, I guess you could say, season of life where I was sort of in this reevaluation mode. You know how you hit those places where you just really begin to reevaluate a lot of things, reevaluate your job, what you're doing in life. And for me, that included reevaluating my spiritual journey. And what was happening was I was realizing more and more that I had a lot of questions and a lot of even doubts that I was just having a hard time really making sense of in my life. And at this particular time, I was dealing with some things, and to tell you the truth, I think what I had in me were some feelings of feeling a little bit confused and even angry towards God about some things. And yet, even though I had something in me that really wanted to be honest, that really wanted to express some of these challenges and these questions to God, the truth was I was afraid to do it. And maybe some of you know what I mean by that. You know, you look at the kind of questions that we sometimes have that we're just afraid to, we're not sure, can I really express this to God or not? I mean, I'm sure you've had them, you know? I mean, those kind of questions. We sang a song a few minutes ago that when I call, you answer. But what about those times when you call and God doesn't seem to answer? And you're just not sure, and you say, God, where are you? You know, why are you letting this happen to me? What, I mean, if you love me, God, if you really love me, then can't you somehow, can't you let me know? I mean, you know the kind of questions. Probably the same kind of questions that an awful lot of people are asking right now on the other side of the world, in places like China and Burma, where disaster, boom, just shows up without any warning whatsoever. Or maybe it's a personal earthquake in your life. Maybe a disaster in your personal life. Maybe a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a sickness or disease that you or someone you love has been diagnosed with. Maybe it's that struggle, the ups and downs of things like depression and anxiety. Maybe it's an addiction, financial problems. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But the fact is, I think we probably all can relate somehow because I think we all at times end up in our lives, and our lives become almost interrupted by these types of questions, by these types of thoughts and doubts and struggles. And I'll tell you, even though it can feel really lonely during those times in our journey, I think one thing that's always helpful to remember is that we're not the only ones who've ever had these kind of feelings and had these kind of questions. I mean, if you think about some of the people we've studied these last few weeks, I mean, 3 weeks ago we talked about Esther. We looked at the life of Esther, who certainly had questions and struggles. And then last weekend you heard from four moms, who did an excellent job, by the way, but who shared some of their own personal struggles, some of the things they've gone through in their lives. And then even as you open up the scriptures, I mean one after another, I mean, I think of the Old Testament patriarch Jacob, who literally found himself wrestling with God. You know, and then there's others, people like Job, like David. I mean, you know who I'm talking about. Even someone as respected and revered as the mother of Jesus, Mary. I mean, who finds herself struggling with this idea that God could somehow use this young teenage virgin to give birth to the Savior of the world. I mean, what do you do with that? Or how about someone more recent? Someone like Mother Teresa, who, here's a tremendous woman who, as it's recently been discovered, certainly had her share of doubts and had her struggles and had questions that she had in her heart and wondered about. And in fact, not long ago, there was her journals were released in book form. And I want to share a couple quotes with you because you really get this idea, you really see inside of the heart and mind of this woman, Mother Teresa. And let me read a couple to you. One of the quotes she says is this. She says, I'm told God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. I want God with all the power of my soul, and yet between us there's this terrible separation, she says. Here's another quote she says. She says, I feel just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing. And you know what's funny? Because people will criticize Mother Teresa for having these types of spiritual struggles, but yet we forget that even people like David in the Bible, who is known as a man after God's own heart, had the very same types of struggles. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, here's a couple that I've shared before. Psalm chapter 42. Listen to the words of the psalmist. He says this, verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He says, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Psalm 44, verse 24, why do you hide your face? I mean, that is raw honesty right there, isn't it? Speaking of raw honesty, I can't help but think of a story that's found in John chapter 11, where we read about this man by the name of Lazarus. And in this story, Lazarus has two sisters, one named Mary and one named Martha, not to be confused with Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is a different Mary. But he has these two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they were all very close friends with Jesus. And we're told in John chapter 11 that Lazarus becomes extremely ill. He's very sick, and so, of course, his two sisters, they send a message to Jesus, who's back in Judea, and they say, Jesus, listen, your friend Lazarus is very, very sick, which was probably a great idea, right? Because, I mean, who better to call when your brother is sick than Jesus, right? I mean, because Jesus is going to hear about it, right? And, of course, since they're friends, they're going to get the VIP hustle going, right? And Jesus can leave immediately, right? He can hop on his really fast camel or his chariot or whatever it might be, and he's going to go right away. He's going to heal Lazarus, right? Well, you would think so, but actually, no. That's not at all what happens. No, see, instead, when Jesus finds out, Jesus simply says back to them, he says, look, listen, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Lazarus' sickness, he says to them, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. It's going to be okay. And we're told Jesus just sort of stays where he's at. He settles in. He stays there for another couple days. And, of course, Mary and Martha get word. And I can just picture the conversation. You know what I mean? I mean, if you can imagine Martha sitting there and Mary walks in. And oh, hey, Mary, I'm so glad you showed up because I wanted to tell you I got a hold of Jesus. Turns out he's not going to be able to make it right now. But the good news is he says everything's going to be okay. Lazarus is not going. Mary. What's the matter? Mary, why are you crying? Mary, what's happened? Martha, you don't understand. Lazarus, he just died. He's gone. No, it's impossible. You don't understand. I mean, Jesus just, he just assured us there's no way that's going to happen. He said, are you sure he's dead? Martha, listen to me. Our brother is gone. He's dead. So finally, 2 days go by. Lazarus has been dead. Jesus decides it's time to go see Lazarus. So he pulls his disciples together. He says, okay, guys, we need to go to Judea. And so Jesus takes his disciples along, and they travel for a couple days until they get to Jerusalem. And by now, by the time they get there, it's been 4 days since Lazarus has been dead. 4 days. Which is significant for all kinds of reasons. I mean, for one, I mean, Jesus is, you know, I mean, how do you say this? I mean, Jesus is, he's late. He's late, right? But what's even more significant is that it seems like he really did it on purpose, doesn't it? It's like, what's going on here? I mean, after all, Jesus could have shown up to save Lazarus from dying, but he takes 4 days. 4 days. And I'll tell you, another reason this is so significant is because, listen, according to ancient Jewish tradition, it's said that a person's soul would remain near their dead body for 3 days. 3 days. But by the fourth day, forget it. By the fourth day, it's over. Dead. Gone. Too late. And so while Jesus could have shown up Jesus could have shown up way before this all happened. He doesn't do that. And while he could have at least shown up the second day, the third day, what does he do? He waits, and he shows up, and he waits until the fourth day, which means by the time that he gets there, if you can imagine, okay, not only was Mary and Martha filled with grief, but in their minds, all hope is gone. All hope is gone. Because first of all, I mean, if Jesus would have shown up in the first place, this wouldn't have happened. But then, of course, I mean, you know, that's what they're thinking. And then, of course, if he would have at least shown up on the first day, I mean, if you can imagine he dies and they go, oh, they're grieving and they're sad. But at least they know, well, there's 3 days. We got this time frame here that it could all still turn around somehow. And so one day goes by, it's okay, we got 2 days. Another day goes by, it's okay, we've got the last day, we got one more day. Third day shows up, okay, he's going to be here anytime. Get the crock pot on, let's make something for dinner for him. He's going to show up at any time. Where is he? Jesus, Jesus. All of a sudden, the fourth day comes around. Forget it. It's over. And so Jesus, he shows up at this village. And let me read you what happens. John chapter 11, verse 31. It says this: when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. And she was going to see Jesus, who had arrived in town. And so it says they followed her there. So here's Mary with these people. And it says in verse 32, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, it says she fell at his feet and she said these words. Listen, Lord, if only you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, we don't know exactly how all of this unfolded, but I just can't help but it probably didn't go down exactly just how I read it in that same tone. I mean, I would imagine, I mean, here's Mary, if you think about it, she's full of pain, sorrow, and grief. I mean, and now she's surrounded by what's become this small crowd of people who's following her, and she looks up and she sees Jesus. I mean, she is, think about it, she is confused, she is hurt, she is crushed. Tears streaming down her face. Body trembling because she has just lost this brother who she loves so much. And now it's 4 days. All hope is gone. And I can just picture her as she walks up to Jesus, falls at his feet, and she says, Jesus, if you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died. Why? I mean, can you imagine what she must have felt at this moment? I mean, here's Jesus, I mean, who Mary trusts. She trusts him. She follows him because she knows and she believes that he really is the Son of God. At least that's what she thought. But on top of that, they're not just followers. No, they're his friends. And so when she sees Jesus at this moment, she can't put on the fake Christian bumper sticker quote and smile. No. She can't just pretend that everything's going to be okay. No. She sees Jesus. So what does she do? She falls on her face in utter pain and grief. And she says, why? Jesus, why? Why didn't you come here? Why didn't you do something before it was too late? Why? I don't understand. And we're told that Jesus sees her grief and he sees all the people around her who are weeping and wailing. And you know what Jesus does? We're told that Jesus becomes deeply moved in his spirit and he begins to just weep. Which, to be honest with you, just confuses me a little bit. I mean, first of all, why would Jesus weep? I mean, was he surprised by this? I mean, you know he had to expect that he was getting some heat when he walks into town. Right? I mean, he knows that someone is not feeling so great about him right now. And so he walks in, and what does he do? He weeps. I mean, did this catch him off guard? I mean, he already knew that Lazarus was dead, right? And he also knew what was about to happen. Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. He knew that. So then why was Jesus so moved to the point of weeping? I mean, could it be that when Jesus looked and saw Mary falling apart, full of pain and sorrow, and then hearing her say to him, Jesus, why? Why? I don't understand. Could it be that through his own pain and tears, that Jesus wanted everyone who was standing there watching to understand that he cared too? And even though he knew that this situation was about to turn around, could it be that Jesus wanted them to know that he cared? And you know what? Lazarus is my friend too. And so instead of looking at them and saying, okay, come on, guys, what are you doing? Get over this. I told you everything's going to be okay. What's wrong with you idiots? No, what does he do? He wants them to know that all the questions, all the pain, all the suffering, the grief, the sorrow, the sadness was okay. It's okay. And even though Jesus knows that in a matter of minutes, Lazarus is going to come walking out of that grave, Jesus wants them to know it's okay. I'm with you in this pain. I am here. And you know what else? I can't help but think of this. I mean, I can't help but imagine in the back of his mind, Jesus is looking around and he's seeing this anguish and this pain in these people that he deeply loves and cares about. And I can't help but think that in the back of his mind, Jesus must have been thinking about what was getting ready to happen in his own life in just a matter of time. And that very soon there would be a level of grief and sorrow and sadness in those same friends as he would sacrifice his own life for the sins of this world. And not only that, but at which point he would look, he himself would look up to his father in much the same way as Mary did, and he'd look up at his dad and he would say the same words, "Why? God, why? Father, where are you? My God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you?" I mean, could it be at this moment that Jesus wanted to show Mary, and even you and me today, a couple thousand years later, that it's okay to be honest with God? I mean, it's okay to say some things to God. It's okay to ask questions, and that in our journey of following him, that it's okay to express that raw, unfiltered emotion and those questions and those feelings to our Creator. Well, I would suggest that not only is it okay to express ourselves to our God, but this is exactly the kind of relationship that he longs to have with you and me. A type of relationship where we're willing to ask the tough questions in life, where we're willing to fall on our face and to be honest and tell God how we're feeling. Well, we're not afraid to express our doubts and our questions and the pain and the grief and that we feel in those moments when life just makes absolutely no sense at all. Yeah, I was telling you earlier when I hit that place in my life in my early 20s where I just longed to just be honest with God, but not having this feeling like I couldn't be. And I'll never forget one night going out, taking a walk down the street and just getting away and just having these feelings, these questions, these beefs, you know, that we have with God sometimes, right? And just this feeling. And I remember walking and I remember saying something to God like, "God, I just wish I could be honest with you." And you know what? I'll never forget in that moment hearing the voice of God in my heart in probably one of the clearest ways I've ever heard it before. And you know what I really felt like God was saying to me at that moment? It was this: "Scott, that's a pretty good start right there. That's a pretty good start. And it's okay, Scott. I already know what you're thinking anyway. Scott, I already know what you're feeling anyway. I can handle your doubt. I can handle your questions. I can handle your issues." And can I tell you something? That slow, dry season that I was experiencing in my journey with God at that point in my life took a brand new turn that night. See, isn't it funny in our lives how we can read a story like this, like Mary, and we can read stories about other people in the scriptures, and we can celebrate them, and we can learn from them, and we can look at people like David, and we can look at people like Jesus who had those moments of just extreme honesty with God. And yet when it comes to our own spiritual journeys, have you ever noticed how hard it can be for us sometimes to be honest with God? And I think that it happens for several reasons. I think probably there's a lot of reasons why we tend to struggle with, I guess, what I would call authentic spirituality. I think, for one, there's probably a lot of us that have been taught, look, okay, you don't question the priest or the pastor, let alone God. I mean, don't question, just accept it, okay? I mean, you don't question God, let God be God. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, right? Just be quiet, let God do whatever he wants, and hopefully at the end of the day, if he's in a good mood, he might let you into heaven. Some of you were taught that kind of thing. Or how about this? I mean, I think for others of us, it's not that we're maybe not taught that we can't question God or whatever, or it's not even necessarily that we're afraid of approaching God as much as it is that we're afraid of where some of those questions might lead us. You know what I'm saying? It's like a fear of what might lie on the other side of the door, or what a fear of what might lie on the other side of that doubt or that question or that confusion. And so what happens is, instead of having a faith that is marked by honesty and transparency, instead we end up with this faith that's become nothing more than a religion. That's more about trying to look good or keeping God happy than it is about really engaging in this true, honest, and authentic spirituality. Yeah, but Scott, I mean, what if I don't like the answer to the question I have for God? Yeah, but Scott, I mean, what if I discover that the answer to my question doesn't align with my theology or my doctrine or the way that I was raised to believe? What if it takes me somewhere that I'm not sure I'm ready to go? Or worse yet, what if I don't even get an answer? It's like inside of us is this fear oftentimes that, you know, if we start to go there, that we may actually end up losing our faith. Which is why this story about Mary is so encouraging, because if you think about it, I mean, don't you think she was afraid? I mean, don't you think there was something inside of her that was a little bit nervous about opening up to Jesus and asking that question? Because you know what? She might discover something that she doesn't want to hear, right? I mean, can you imagine her feelings? I mean, she knows Jesus as Yeshua. She knows Jesus as this living, walking, breathing friend. And yet she also knows him as the one who's going to save this world from sin. And yet suddenly the reality of what's happened is completely different than what she thought was supposed to happen. So just imagine how easy it would have been for her to just play it safe. And say, you know, I'm not going to question him. I don't want to go there. I'm just going to accept what's happened and move on. I don't want to ask the tough questions. But instead, what does she do? She falls flat on her face, and she gets real and honest with Jesus. In the case you don't know the rest of the story, you should read it sometime. Jesus goes to his friend's grave. He commands Lazarus to be raised from the dead. It's really a pretty amazing story. But what I really want you to see is this, because this is what I think the whole talk today really comes down to. In the next chapter, John chapter 12, Jesus is back in the presence of his friends. He's with Lazarus. He's with Mary and Martha and some others. And Mary, okay, listen, the one who just a short time before has fallen down at the feet of Jesus in complete and utter agony, is now in John chapter 12, is now once again at the feet of Jesus. But this time, it's not to ask a question or to try to make sense of a tragedy. No, this time, listen, she's at his feet with a jar of oil in her hands. But not just a jar of oil. I mean, this is like an expensive, this is worth a year's salary, we're told. And the scriptures tell us that she takes this oil, and in this way that just had to be so beautiful and so reverent, this act of worship and commitment, she pours that oil over the feet of Jesus, and she uses the very hair on her head to anoint him and to show her love and commitment and trust to this man named Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Could it be that there's a connection here? Now just listen. Could it be there's a connection here? A connection between Mary's ability to honestly and authentically pour out her soul to Jesus, and then a short time later, being able to express an even deeper commitment of love and faith to him. Could there be a connection? See, what we really begin to see in the lives of these individuals who weren't afraid to authentically pour out their hearts and their souls to their Creator are these people who on the other side, listen, who on the other side of this authenticity found not weaker faith, but instead found greater faith and greater commitment to their Lord. See, here's what I think we have to remember. Look, it's not questions and doubts, and it's not that questions and doubts necessarily lead to losing our faith, but we're so scared of that sometimes, or even our kids. Like when our kids start asking questions or our kids start doubting, we become afraid of that. But what we have to remember is that it's not questions and doubts that cause us to lose our faith. It's that honesty and that willingness to be real with God that actually takes us places that we could never go otherwise. See, I think that's why Jesus one time made this statement, and some of you know the scripture. Jesus said the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like children. And we hear this phrase, don't we, childlike faith? When you have childlike faith. And oftentimes I think what we think by that is it means we should just follow God and never say anything and just do whatever he says and never ask questions and all of that. Or like we should just blindly just not, you know, just kind of just do it or whatever. When if you think about it, that's not how children act. Right? And if yours do act like that, let me let you watch mine for a day or two. No, see, here's the thing. With my kids, if they don't understand something, let me tell you something. They will ask. They will ask. Man, if something doesn't make sense to them, they'll tell you. Man, as a parent of a three-year-old who I'm about to nickname Curious Georgette, okay, let me tell you something. I can tell you this is true. I mean, I think she's not scared to ask questions. If she doesn't understand something, she will ask away. And see, here's the thing. The scary thing is not the questions. The part that's scary is when people don't have any questions. Which is why, as followers of Jesus, I don't think we should try to make it our goal to avoid questions. I think in reality, we should embrace questions. Because see, here's the thing. Listen, there's such freedom in this. When you ask questions, you know what you're doing? You're simply admitting that you don't have the answers. I mean, when you get honest and you get real with God, I mean, there is freedom in that. Freedom from this idea that you've got to have everything figured out. And there's a freedom there that allows us to have those moments when we finally come to the end of our ability to comprehend everything, and in these moments when silence is enough. I'll tell you what, and it's then when you and I are freed from having to try and pretend that we're God, or trying to pretend that we have all the answers to everything, and we can finally step back and just let God be God. And I'll tell you, that is the greatest freedom that any of us can ever experience in our lives. I mean, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have in our lives. Not a faith that looks good on the outside, but that is hollow and fake on the inside. No. Not a faith that is unproven and untested, that won't stand up to anything when the waves of life begin to come about. No, I'm talking about the kind of faith that, right along with being honest with God, is also taking us further and further on our journey of following Him. See, it's a give and take. It's a give and take. In other words, I mean, on one hand, God gives us all kinds of room to ask questions and to doubt and to be honest and to express our feelings. That's the give. God gives us that space. But on the other hand, God's hope is that through that, we will keep doing this, that we will keep stepping forward on that journey. See, what a lot of us do is we get stuck, don't we? When we have questions, we say, oh, that's it. You know what? I ain't going anywhere. God, until you answer my question, until you help me make sense of it, I'm staying right here. No, that's not how authentic faith works. I mean, think about it. There's a reason it's called faith. I mean, that's what faith is. The evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not felt, not understood. I mean, look, if you knew the answer to every question, I mean, if you knew why everything happens in life that happens, there would be no need for faith. If you knew how God was going to come through for you in your life every time, there would be no need for faith. There would be no need for trust. You know, last weekend we looked at the scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And then it says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's faith. Stepping forward on that path, even when you have no idea how God is going to come through. Kind of like this. Watch. It's a good movie. Can't wait to see the new one. You think he's going to look as good as he does there? There's help for that kind of stuff, right? But you know what, that's it right there. I mean, that's the give and take of this authentic spirituality. You know what it's like? It's like, just like you saw here, on one side of the equation, you can't necessarily see what's going to happen, but then it's like some of you are at this place right now, you are right on the edge, and you keep going like this, and you're wanting to step out, but you're so afraid. It's like, you can't exactly see how it's all going to work out, but what happens is you take that first step. You suddenly realize God is there. And as you take another step, and then another step, before you know it, you end up on that other side, and you look back and you see how it all played out, and you think to yourself, man, what was holding me back all this time? Why did I wait so long? I mean, there's some of you here today, you've been waiting, and maybe you've even allowed yourself to sort of stall out on your journey. Yet I have this feeling that if you would be willing to take that leap of faith in your life, that you'd find yourself asking that same question. Man, what was holding me back for so long? It's the same thing we see with Mary. I mean, on both sides of the resurrection, on one side there's all these questions. Why? Jesus, I don't understand. Why did this happen? But on the other side, Mary comes to this realization that Jesus had it all figured out. And she realizes, you know what, that right there, that is why I can trust Jesus. You know, a few years ago, we made the decision that we really wanted the Orchard to be that kind of place. To be the kind of place where no matter where you might fall at in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at in that whole spiritual spectrum, whether you've been in a relationship with Jesus for many, many years, or maybe you have even no idea what that even looks like, we really believe that God wanted the Orchard to be that kind of place where you could come and this church would be a safe place to ask questions and a safe place to be honest and a safe place to wrestle and to struggle and to work through some things. But can I tell you that our ultimate hope is that even amidst those questions and even amidst those doubts and those struggles, our hope and our prayer is that you would be able to do exactly what you just saw, that even with the questions, you could begin taking some steps forward. See, Jesus calls everyone to follow him, not just those that are question-free, not just those who think, by the way, just they think they have it all figured out, but no one really does, right? But I mean, oftentimes we get this idea that, well, man, before I follow Jesus, I've got to have it all worked out. I've got to have it all figured out. But yet, when you see these people that we study and these people in the scriptures, you realize there's people who follow Jesus that follow Jesus with questions under this arm, doubts under this arm, but still continue to move forward. And that's what it means when we say our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. I mean, that's what we desire. That's our hope. That's our prayer. And what we realize for some of you, that next step in your life might be just making the decision that you're going to show up again next weekend. And you would say right now, Scott, if you knew me, you'd be blown away that I'm even in church right now. There's some of you who are going, I don't know, my wife just dragged me here, and I can't wait to get out of here. Go home and take a nap and mow the lawn. And maybe some of you, you know, you've been dipping your toes in, or you've been right on that ledge, and you realize that there's a big part of you that really wants to dive in, but you've been stuck because you've had questions or doubts or because you felt like you'd have it all figured out. When, again, the invitation of Jesus to follow him is extended to everyone, and especially those who still have issues and questions and doubts. And so here's the deal. Today, I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that it's okay that you have these questions and doubts and these feelings. And I want you to know that while God gives you this space to express those and to have those, his hope is that at the same time, you and I will keep moving forward, that we will keep taking steps, not just in those moments when everything feels good and in those moments when everything makes sense, but even in those times when God might seem really, really far from you. That right there is the give and take of authenticity. It's the type of relationship that we see in Mary. It's the type of relationship we saw in these moms who were on this stage last weekend. It's the type of faith we see in the life of Esther that we looked at a few weeks ago. And my prayer is it's the same type of faith that you and I will embrace in our lives today. Would you join me as we pray? Let's bow our heads. God, this morning, I want to just, first of all, thank you so much. Because it's like the more that I grow in my relationship with you, I know there's so many others that could say the same thing, that the more that we grow in our relationship with you, the more we realize that the thing that we're most afraid of sometimes, and that is just being honest with you, is the thing that you desire the most. Because God, I think there's something about when we're honest with you, that you're honest with us. And we discover some things about what you say and how you desire us to live and how you desire us to think. God, I know that in this room right now there are such a wide array of people who are at all different places in their spiritual journey, and I love that. But God, my prayer for all of us is that we would not stay where we're at, but that we would take another step forward. In fact, God, I think it would be awesome if today everybody in this room made that decision that I'm going to step forward, whatever that might look like. God, maybe for some, it's what we said earlier. It's them just making that decision. They're going to come back again. Maybe for others, it's them saying, you know, I'm still not sure. I still have some things I need to work through. For others, God, today might be the day that they take that step and they say, you know what, I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus. I still have questions. I don't have it all figured out, but I do know this, that I need Jesus in my life. And so today, I open my heart to him. And I express that to you, God. God, thank you so much. for this give and take of authenticity. God, help us to become everything you desire in our lives. Amen. In a second, we're going to close with a song. Before we do that, when you came in today, there was a white card on your seat. The reason we put that there is because when you hear the song in just a minute, I want you to take that card, and I want you to just think about something for a minute. Would you think about this? Where am I struggling at with God right now? What questions do I have? What doubts do I have? And we're going to collect those and answer every one of those questions. I'm totally kidding. We're not going to do that. No. But we're going to ask you to write down, what are those questions or doubts that I'm dealing with in my life that maybe I've held back from sharing? Because I have no doubt that some of you've come in today and you can totally relate to that place I was in when I was so afraid to be honest with God. Or maybe it's another issue in your life you're struggling with, whatever it might be. What I want you to do is during this song, would you take a moment and write down what that is? And you don't have to turn it in. You're going to take this home. But here's what I really believe. I really believe that if you would take a step of faith today in your life of expressing that, whatever it might be that you need to express, kind of just get off your chest to God, that if you would take that step, I really believe God's going to honor that in your life. And he's going to build inside of you greater trust. Because again, that's the give and take. God gives you the room, but he also then gives you the grace in your life to trust him and have more faith in him. So listen to the words of this song, and as you do, would you just sit and think about that? And would you write it down on that card? Yeah, some of you wrote down some things on your card and you held that in your hand and you sang these words. It's kind of easy to do that, isn't it? Well, easier to do that than it is sometimes to actually, while you're carrying whatever this is, to actually believe and actually trust. But that's really what God wants. So as you hold on to that question, see, here's the thing. God may answer that question. God may not. You may come to understand one day, or you may not come to understand. The give and take is that God says, I give you room to express. But as you express, and as you're honest with me, I want to help you to take that next step and the next step and the next. That's my prayer for all of us. And so would you take these and would you just fold them up, put them in your pocket, put them in your wallet, your purse, wherever. And whenever you see this, would you let it serve as a reminder to you of what we've talked about today? Would you let this serve as a reminder? It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay. But at the same time, I'm committing also to keep moving forward in my journey. We're so glad you were here today, and this has been a fun series, hasn't it? That's what she said. Fun series. And I just want to say, you know, we've heard from a few moms last weekend, and we looked at some great moms from the Scripture, or great women from the Scriptures, and can I just say that I know that all of this reflects the beauty that's in this room now with all of you women who are here. And so I just want you to know we honor you, ladies. We respect you. We honor you. And may we remember that there's so much in our lives that we can continue to learn as we look to so many great women. You have so much to teach us. Thank you so much. And thanks for being here today, all of you. And look forward to it. We end the series today, but we've got some other things coming up that I think you'll really enjoy. Thank you so much for being here. And we hope you stop by Connecting Point after our next service. All right, have a great day. We'll see you.